Man, I love that. But today what we're doing is we're wrapping up our series called Margin. What is margin? Margin, in the definition that we have, it's a working definition provided to us by a great pastor by the name of Andy Stanley. And he says this. He says margin is, you can go ahead and throw it up there. Margin is the amount available beyond what is necessary. Margin is the amount available beyond what is necessary. And so we've talked about our scheduling margin. We've talked about our financial margin. And today we are wrapping everything up with moral margin. So why don't you, if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open those up to James chapter 1. Or if you've got your mobile device, you could go ahead and open up the YouVersion Bible app, which is absolutely fantastic. And you open up that app, you go to the events page, live events, and you find Focus 314, and it's got all the notes just right in there with you. And you can actually look at those all week long. And so go ahead and get to James chapter 1. And as you're going to James chapter 1, I've got a question that I want to ask you. You know, always I'm asking these questions because I want you to really be thinking about the message. It's not just something that we sit back and we just pat ourselves on the back. Hey, I went to church today. No, we want to really get something from this, right? And so the question that I have for you today, and I don't want you to answer right away, because this is something that I want you to be able to sink in a little bit. And so the question is this. How many of you know somebody who have had their lives wrecked by sexual immorality? Again, I want you to just think about it. Don't answer just yet. I want you to be able to think about this. What does that mean? What does it mean that they've had their lives wrecked by sexual immorality? Maybe you know somebody who has become addicted to pornography and they cannot stop themselves. And what it's done is it's wrecked through a relationship. It's wrecked through their time that they spend with people. And man, it's just rough. Or maybe you know somebody who had a relationship, and man, this is going to be a little PG-13, so I see a child right there, man, maybe you want to be there, that's awesome, but man, it's going to be, I just want you to know, maybe a little PG-13 today, but man, you know somebody who maybe they had a sexual relationship before they were married, got pregnant, was scared out of their mind, and then they went ahead and they aborted that child. And now they're living with all of that guilt. They're living with all of that shame. And you just look at their life and they're like, man, that's a rough thing that they've got going on. Or maybe you know somebody in your life who has had an affair. That in their marriage, they've had an affair. And man, what it's done is it's totally ruined the relationship they have with their spouse. It's ruined the relationship they had with their kids. It's ruined their job. They quit their job or they got fired from their job. And man, you know somebody who has had their life ruined by sexual immorality. How many of you know somebody like that? Why don't you go ahead and raise your hands up? Man, there's hands all over the place. Here's the reality is that we know people like that. Because we know that if we live the way that normal people live, we're going to get the results that normal people get the results from. And that's the reality for us, is that we live in a world that pushes us all the way to the edge of morality. That we want to live right on the edge of morality. But we want to be able to see how God tells us to live. We want to be able to look at the way that God wants us to live. And we believe that God wants us to live in margin, specifically in the area of morality. Specifically in that area. And so, man, today I want to go ahead and give you what our big takeaway is for the day when it works with moral margin. And moral margin is this. Moral margin is putting distance between you and temptation. Moral margin is putting a distance between you and temptation. That you don't want to be able to live right up to the edge. And too often in this world, that's exactly what we're doing when it comes to morality. We want to live right on the edge. I want to tell you, man, in all of the years of ministry that I've been in, and I talked to somebody who is going through some sexual immorality issues and they've got stuff going on in their life or they had an affair, and every single one of those conversations, I can say almost every single one, this is what the person comes and says to me. I can't believe that it happened to me. I can't believe that it happened to me. They're shocked that it happened to them. Because the reality is this, is that when we have a line of morality, we want to get right up to the next of it. We want to be right there living right next to morality. That's the culture that we live in. We live in a place that pushes us right up to the edge. Man, when I was in student ministry, when I was first starting off and I was in student ministry, we would have students ask us this question. And maybe you've heard this from one of your students or from one of your kids or something like that. The question was this: how far is too far? Right? How far is too far? Like, I want you to give me a line right here, or maybe here, or maybe down here. How far is too far? Because what we want to do is we want to go right up to that line. Tell me how far I can go before it's a bad thing, right? That's what we want to be able to do. That's the life that we do. That's the question that we ask ourselves. I tell you what, morality is the only place that I know that we want to go right up to the place of something that's going to hurt us. We want to go right up to the edge of where it's dangerous because we want to be able to get as close as we can. How many of you guys know that we live in scorpion country? Anybody know that? Right? How many of you guys have seen a scorpion in your house? I tell you what, it's like kind of half of you. It's really weird. I don't understand. Some of you have lived here your entire life and never seen a scorpion. Others of you, you moved here and a month later you had one in your house, you know, and it's fallen down from the ceiling and you're like, what in the world? Where did I move to, you know? It's kind of strange. But here's the thing I know about scorpions. I don't know anybody who has said, I want to go right up to that scorpion and see how close to the tail I can get before it stings me. Do you know anybody like that? I don't know anybody like that. I don't know anybody who wants to see how close they can get to the scorpion before it stings them. Boy, but that's exactly what we do with morality. We're sitting there saying, hey, come on, scorpion. Come here, get real close. I want to get as close as I can. Whoa! And then all of a sudden, well, I didn't expect to see that coming. Nobody lives that way. Man, we had a scorpion in our house, and I was sitting downstairs. My wife's upstairs getting ready, and all of a sudden, she just screams bloody murder, you know? And I thought something was wrong with the kids, with our two boys. I thought, oh, my goodness. So I go tearing upstairs. I'm like, what's the matter? It's a scorpion. Oh, okay. All right, no big deal now. But, man, I grabbed that flip-flop, and that scorpion's right there. Wham! You know? I mean, we want to get away from it. We want to kill that thing before it has a chance to sting us. And then the next day, I had her call an exterminator. I don't ever want to see another scorpion in my house. You guys with me on that? But with morality, we want to see as close as we possibly can get before we actually go over the line of danger. We don't live that way. That's not what God intends for us. James 1 says this in verse 13 through 15. It says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. And I love that right there. I absolutely love that. Because so often in our lives, we want to put the blame on somebody else, right? Man, you know what? If this person would have been doing that, I wouldn't have fallen into it. Or you know what? Somebody else. Man, the blame is on you. You can't blame anybody else. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Now, I want you to key in on that word dragged away. Dragged away. In the Greek, what that means right there, it means to be entrapped. It means to be entangled. What it really is, it's a fishing term that means to be hooked. Because that's what's happening, is that our spiritual enemy is trying to entrap us, is trying to hook us with that temptation before we know it, and we think, how did this happen to me? And then all of a sudden, that temptation that was there, that sin that we happened one time, man, we liked it a little bit. Because I don't know about you, but sinning is fun. And if you're not having fun when you're sinning, you're probably doing it wrong. Really. That's the reality of it. Man, it's fun for a season, but here's what happens after a while, is that it gives birth when it's full grown inside of yourself and you can't get away from it anymore because you're hooked in and you're getting reeled in, death and destruction are on your way. That's what happens. So what we want to do is we want to be wise in the way that we live, so that we aren't hooked in, that we're not entrapped by this sin. So we want to be wise and put as much distance between ourselves and temptation as possible. As possible. 1 Corinthians, man, go ahead and put 1 Corinthians, the first part of that on there. 18 says this. Everybody say this first word with me, all right? Everybody say it. One, two, three. Flee. flee. Flee from sexual immorality. Flee from it. It doesn't say get as close as you can get. It doesn't say flirt with it a little bit. It doesn't say fight sexual immorality. It says flee. Run away. Run, Forrest, run. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Now, you might sit there and be wondering, man, why are we focusing in specifically upon sexual immorality this morning when we're talking about morals? Because there's so many other areas that we could be talking about. We could talk about the way that we talk. We could talk about the way that we eat. We could talk about all these other different areas. But the reality is this, is that sexual immorality is different from everything else. There are different sins. Sins cause different things. And you think, well, hey, wait a second. I thought all sin was the same. No, what you mean by that is that all sin separates you from God. Now, that's true, but not all sin is the same. And you know this is true because we live in a world that not all sin is the same. If you tell a white lie, sometimes you might be able to get away with that, right? But if you gossip continually over and over and over again, you're going to destroy relationships, right? Or maybe you were speeding down the highway, going 10 miles over the speed limit, which none of you would do that. I know that. And you get pulled over. DPS pulls you over, and what's going to happen? You got to pay a little bit of money, right? You got to pay a fine, and you hope that your insurance doesn't go up. But if you get caught speeding and you're going 130 miles an hour in a school zone, you're probably going to be going to jail, aren't you? There are different degrees and there are different levels of sin. Now, all sin separates us from God, but the reality is this, is that there are different sins that we have. And so we want to be able to key in on sexual immorality today because the reality is this, is that it sins against the body. That's what Scripture tells us. It's a sin against our body. Now, you might not be a believer in Christ, and you might be able to say, well, you know what? It's my body. I can do with it as I want, and that's true, but if you are a believer in Christ, you have given up that right. Your body is not your own anymore. You have been bought with a price, and your body is God's temple. God resides inside of you. It is given over to the Holy Spirit, and we want to be able to honor God with our body. And that's why we're keying in on sexual immorality when it becomes with moral margin. You guys with me now? Man, I'll tell you what, this is going to be a good day. Now, we can continue on. 19 through 20 says this. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, just like I just said? Who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. We want to be able to honor God with our bodies. John 10:10 says this. It says that the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy. That the thief has come, that our spiritual enemy wants to destroy us. And a place that he pushes us so often is in sexual immorality. And we want to put as much distance between temptation as possible so that we can live a life of margin. That's what we want to be able to do. That's where we're going today. I'm excited about that. Ephesians 5:3, Paul puts it this way. He puts it this way. He says, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality. Think about that for a second. Not even a hint of sexual immorality. The way that we live, the standards of this world, they're low, right? They are low. They are down here. But God's standards for us and the way that we should live, they are up here. They are high, they are lofty, and it is difficult sometimes to hit those standards, but that's the way that God wants us to live. He wants us to be different. He doesn't want us to live a normal life because the reality is this, is that we know that normal is not working. Because a normal sex life looks like you have sex before you're married. It looks like you get to be able to do whatever you want with your body. It means that, you know what, I was born this way, I'm going to do what I want. That's normal. The other thing that's normal when it comes to sexual immorality is this, it's pain and it's regret. It's shame. It's a difficulty thing because there's spirituality involved with sexuality as well. And so I know this, I know that normal is not working. I don't want to have normal results in my life, and I don't want you to have normal results in your life. I would hate for the moment when I have to come down and have a conversation with you because you said, you know what, I messed up. And now I've got this huge situation going on in my marriage. Man, it's rocky right now. I don't know if we're going to be able to make it through. I don't want to have normal results. I don't want to see what normal looks like in my life, and I don't want to see it looking like that in your life as well. We don't want to have normal. We want to be able to live a weird life. We don't even want to have a hint of sexual immorality. Now, the word that is used there for sexual or hint of sexual immorality is the word in the Greek called porneia. I think you know where that comes from, right? We get the word pornography and porn from porneia. And what that means, it means that you are aroused by anything outside of the marriage. That means that anything that arouses you outside of marriage, not let even a hint of sexual immorality come inside of you. Not any kind of it. Now that's pretty difficult, right? That's really difficult in the culture that we live in. And so I want us to be able to talk about that for a little bit. I want us to be able to look at what that looks like. You know, and you know, we have sexual immorality. We have those hints all throughout our culture. That's just how we live. You can look around and see the way that people dress, right? There's hints all over the place. Man, when you're dating, you want to do that thing, that everything but, right? Everything but. You know, what does that even mean, everything but? It means that you do everything but. There's a little bit of a hint that's in there, right? Because that's just the reality, man, that we get pushed so far. But we want to live with margin in our life. We want to be able to live in a way that honors God with our bodies. And we allow those things to creep into our lives so often as well. We allow those things to creep into our life, even as Christians, as individuals who want to follow Christ, that we allow these small little hints to creep into us. In fact, man, we live in a culture, like I said, so often that does that. Man, you read Cosmo, and it says 5 ways to make your boyfriend crazy in bed. And we put it right there at the grocery store stand so that my 6-year-old can read that as we're walking through the line. And we think that it's not even that big of a deal because we become so deadened to those senses that we just think, you know what, it's not that big of a deal. Everybody else is doing it. Yeah, but everybody else is living in a certain way that we don't want to see normal. We want to put that margin in between us. Normal's not working. Let there not even be a hint of it. Now you think, man, you're coming pretty strong right now, right? You're coming pretty strong, and I'm going to continue to come strong because this is a big deal in our lives. This is a big deal in our lives still. It doesn't matter what age you are. It's a big deal in our lives. It's a big deal for our kids as they're getting grown, that we want to be able to live a life with margin and teach them to be able to live this way. And so I'm going to give you a couple of things really quick, about 6 things, and these are going to be a little bit extreme. And you might be able to sit there and think, wow, man, that's pretty far out there. That's not the way that normal people live. Good, because I don't want to have normal in my life. And so, man, these are 6 things really quickly, and we're going to cover those pretty quick to be able to say that we're not going to live the way that normal people live. And the first one is this. To have moral margin in our lives, the first thing that we want to do is we want to dress for spiritual success. The way that the clothes that we wear, the attire that we have, we want to be able to dress for spiritual success. Man, this is guys and girls all together. I was at the gym the other day, and man, a lot of those guys at the gym, they work out at the gym a lot, you know? I mean, they're there a lot, and they have the bodies to be able to prove it. And this guy was there, and he's wearing a little tank top, you know, and he's working out, and it's just his abs. That's all he's working out is his abs. And I know it because every time he would go up to the mirror, and he'd pull over his shirt, and he's doing that number, you know? And I'm like, what in the world is this guy doing, man? Well, the reality is it was distracting to me, but hey, how much more distracting was it to some of the ladies that were in there, you know? We got to dress for spiritual success. And man, ladies, man, you need to dress in a way that gives God the glory and not your bod the glory, okay? We know that you work out. We know that you do all of those things. Save it for your husband or your future husband or whoever it is. You got to be able to think about this. Give God the glory. Don't give your bod the glory, all right? We want to be able to dress for spiritual success. The second thing that we want to be able to do is this. If you're dating, you need to keep 4 on the floor. What does that mean? Keep all 4 feet on the floor at all times, you know? Keep 4 feet on the floor. Man, you're over at your boyfriend's apartment or whatever the case is, and you're sitting there, you're watching a movie. you know, and then all of a sudden that smooth leg touches that hairy leg, you know, and then the next thing you know, like all of a sudden sparks are flying all over the place, you know? Don't do Bible study in your bed, okay? Keep four on the floor. Man, you need to be able to do that because it's going to help you keep a line of moral margin in your life. It's going to help you keep that line right there. Man, the next thing that we need to do is this. No sleepovers. No sleepovers. Those of you that are dating, if you're married, you can have a sleepover, all right? That's okay. But yeah, hallelujah for sleepovers. But man, if you're dating, don't try to play house. Don't play house before you get married. Because what you're doing is you're going to set yourself up for the way that you're going to do house later. And a lot of those times, and when you're in those dating relationships, you're going to leave. Because I got to tell you, a lot of times that person that you're dating is not the person you're going to marry, right? And when you set yourself up so often for leaving, you're going to be able to learn to divorce when you get married. No sleepovers. Don't play married. And it's so easy for this to happen. You know, you're over at the apartment one night and it's late, you know, and you're like, oh, I don't want to go. Well, you know, I got a t-shirt that you can wear. You know, they just sleep on the couch. You know, it's no big deal. Just cuddle on the couch. And the next thing you know, you're like, oh, here, just use my toothbrush. I'm sharing toothbrush. That's gross. Disgusting. But you got all of a sudden, you're leaving a toothbrush over there. And then you're just living together. Don't start off. No sleepovers. It's not a way that we want to be able to live. The fourth one that we want to do is this. Avoid dangerous places. Avoid dangerous places. Now, only you know what those dangerous places are for you. Maybe it's a bar. Maybe it's a certain person's apartment or house or whatever the case is. But avoid those places that you know are dangerous, that you know bring you to a place of temptation so often. You know, and a big one for me is this, is I am a firm believer in making sure that you avoid those places on the internet. The internet, man, it is so easy to be able to access anything that you want to see. You got to be able to lock that computer down. You got to be able to lock your phone down. Oh my goodness, man, your phone is like, it's like secrecy right there. You got to be able to lock that stuff down. I got to tell you, for my life, man, for me, the way that I live, I have two individuals in my life, two guys that I go to, and we talk about this stuff all the time. And we ask each other the hard questions. Hey, man, what have you been looking at lately? How's your thought life going right now? Have you done anything that is putting you towards that edge? And we ask those tough questions. And you say, whoa, hey, Pastor Darren, is that something that you really struggle with? Not every day. Most of the time, no, it's not. But I want to set myself up to a place where it doesn't become an issue for me. Where I want to put as much distance between me and temptation as possible. We need to avoid those dangerous places that we go. The next one is this. We need to avoid time alone with the wrong people. We need to avoid time alone with the wrong people. Who are those individuals in your life who are bringing you closer and closer to temptation? You got to avoid them. You got to be able to say, no, you know what? It's not good for me to be in that relationship. It's not good for me to spend time alone with that person. For me, in my life, in my relationship with my wife, we have made it a rule that we will never drive alone in a car with somebody of the opposite sex. We're just not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go to a meal alone with somebody of the opposite sex. I'm going to avoid time alone with the wrong people. But see, that's not the way that we live. Because we just want to push ourselves all the way up to the point. So this is what it's like. If this is the line, this is that line where all of a sudden we're living in sexual immorality, we want to be able to live right up against this line. But I would argue that there are so many more lines that we need to put between ourselves and that bad place. There are other lines that we need to be able to live. And so we ask ourselves this question, is it wrong for me? Is it wrong for me to have a conversation with somebody of the opposite sex? No, it's not wrong at all, but it's not wise for me to do so. But all of a sudden, we step over that line, and it's no big deal because, man, that line of sexual immorality, it's way over there, so this is no big deal, right? Man, is it wrong for me to look forward to having a conversation with that person? Is it wrong for me to look forward to spending time with that person? No, it's not wrong for me to do that. That line of sexual immorality, man, that's way over there. We've taken one step closer. Man, is it wrong for me to be able to share my feelings and intimate things that are going on in my marriage? Is it wrong for me to do that? No, it's not wrong for me to do that. That line of sexual immorality, man, that's way over there. So I take one step further and I get closer and closer. And then we say, you know what? Is it wrong for me to be able to express my feelings of attraction and say, you know, I'm really attracted to you, but we know that we can't ever play on those things because we're both in a relationship. No, it's not wrong for me to be able to say that because the line of sexual morality is way over there, and we take another step, and then the next thing we know, we're way over here, and we say, how did it happen to me? I can't believe that it happened to me because we have taken so many steps, and we've never thought about it. And so what we've done is we've set ourselves up for failure instead of setting ourselves up for success. We need to have moral margin and put as much distance between us and temptation as possible. As possible. The last one is this. We need to guard our eyes. We need to guard our eyes. Job said this in 31 verse 1. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. I made a covenant with my eyes not to do that. That I don't want to be able to look at those things. Because the reality is this, is that you have control over your thoughts. You need to control your eyes. You need to guard your eyes. You need to guard your mind. You got to control your mind. You need to guard your heart because out of it springs everything that you do. Guard your heart. Guard your mind and guard your eyes. You got to be able to watch diligently. You sit there and you say, you know what, but I don't look at pornography. I don't do that. But you wait with bated anticipation every time that Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition comes out or ESPN The Body because you just know and you take that one step closer. Man, you say, you know what, but I'm not going and reading all of the nasty stuff, but there's a romance novel that's right there, and it begins to fill you with some of these things inside of yourself, and you begin to question your relationship with your husband. We've got to guard our hearts, guard our eyes. What are we filling inside of our life? And so often we think, you know what, I'm doing better than so-and-so. But I'm doing better than this person. I'm doing better than most of my friends. Well, let me tell you, that doesn't matter because normal's not working anyway. And our standards are not down here. The way that we live is not living to the standards of this world. Man, we want to live to the standards that God has set for us. And those standards are way up here. How are you living your life? Are you putting as much distance between you and temptation as possible? Or are you getting right up to that edge? Are you getting close to that scorpion and just waiting for the sting of the tail? We got to put as much distance between us and temptation as possible. Scripture tells us to flee from it. Means to run away, get as far away from it as possible. It doesn't say to get right up to the line. It doesn't say to flirt. It doesn't say to fight it. Man, I can conquer this thing. It doesn't say to fight it. It says run away, flee from it. And you think to yourself, man, this is pretty extreme. Something you're talking about, that's pretty extreme. That's not the way that most people live. That's right. Because we don't want to live the way that most people live. I don't want to live the way that most people live. I don't want my life to look the way that most people do. Now, I'm not perfect. I'm far from perfect. And I know that you are as well. But I want to be able to live my life in the way that my boys can say, you know what? My dad honors God. My dad honors my mom. And they can say, I want to follow my dad the way that he follows Christ. I want to be able to honor my wife with the images that I'm putting in my mind. So that when I go to the mall, that I go across and I don't want to go buy Victoria's Secret. I don't even want to go in the store. And you think, you know what? But I'm just buying a piece of lingerie for my wife. It's going to be a special day. Let me tell you something, man. Your wife is going to feel like it is so much more special if you have a heart that's only for her. If you have eyes that are only for her than a piece of material that is going to make her feel nice for one night. Make her feel nice for the entirety of her life. Put as much distance between you and temptation as possible. That's an extreme way to live. And I want extreme results in my life. I want God to be able to say to me, you did good. I know you had troubles here and there, but man, in your heart, you were following me. I want those results for my life. I want those results for your life. I want Christ to be able to teach you and show you the way. That you can have a transformation by the renewing of your mind because you're putting your eyes to God's word and not to what the culture and what this world is trying to sell us. We need to have moral margin in our life. We need to be able to look at that line and we can say, man, I want to be as far away from that thing as possible. I don't want to live the way that most people are living because I don't want the results that most people are getting. We need to have moral margin in our life. Let's pray for that this morning. God, I just pray that you will teach us to flee from temptation. God, I pray that you will give us the courage to be able to stand up and not to fight, but to run away as far as possible so they can put as much distance between us and temptation as possible. God, I pray that you will allow us to live the way that you want us to live. I pray for moral margin in the lives of our church. I pray that we can live in a weird and radical way by following your principles, that we can flee from it. That's not even a hint. There's not even a hint of temptation in our life. God, I pray for those right now that have fallen into some of those areas, that have fallen into some of those areas of sexual immorality. And maybe it's not even a place that they've completely fallen in, but thoughts are beginning to creep in. Temptations are beginning to set in. And God, I pray right now that you will let them know how much you love them, how much you want to forgive them. Now, this is a hard question that I'm going to ask right now. And I want you to know, man, there is nobody looking around. I don't want anybody, I'm completely serious about this one, that this needs to be a very, very intimate question right now. But it's so important for us as well. Man, if that's something that you've been struggling with, that there's an area inside of your life and you need to ask God for His forgiveness, it's been such a secret inside of you for so long. And even beginning to think about asking forgiveness, you're like, I don't want anybody to know. I don't want any of this getting out, man. I'm scared to death of even acknowledging to God where my thoughts have been, what my actions have been. But you need forgiveness. You desire forgiveness. And you know you want it so bad. And if that's you today, man, I want to pray for you. And I want you to know that, man, I'm the only person that's looking around right now. I am the only person that's looking around right now. And I want you to know that I've fallen into all of those areas before. I've walked through that path, and I know where it leads. I know that it leads to death and destruction. I know that it leads to devastation. I've walked that path before, and so there's no condemnation on my part at all, man. I just want you to be able to live the life that God wants for you. I know the difference between those two things. I know the difference between setting yourself up for success and setting yourself up for failure. Man, if that's you this morning and you're saying, you know what, God, it's a scary moment for me, but I need forgiveness. I want to ask for forgiveness. If that's you in this room, man, I just want you to slip your hand up. Just slip your hand up. And as soon as you do that, I can see it and you can put it right back down. I can see it and you can put it right back down. Man, I see it and you can put it down. I see it, you can put it down. Man, I want you to know, man, that this is a hard thing, but it is so important for you. God desires, I see you can put it right back down, man. God desires for you to be able to live such an amazing life. Because the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to destroy your life. your relationships. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy you. I have too many friends that I have known who have gone down that path of sexual immorality. And man, I'm going to tell you, they have contracted STDs. And there's individuals that I know today who are not with us because of those decisions. It leads to death and destruction. Man, just another moment, if that's you, that you just need God's forgiveness. It's a big deal. These are healing moments in your life. And I'm so thankful for your courage to be able to say, God, I need your forgiveness and I need your life in my life. I don't want normal results. I don't want normal results. I want the results that you have for me. God is here to forgive you. And I want you to know that today, that he loves you, and it doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter, because today is a new day. Today is a new day, and he is so much more concerned with your future than he is your past. It tells us that when we ask for forgiveness, that he puts our sins as far as the east is from the west. I don't know how far that is, but it's a long way. Because he loves you so much. He loves you so much. Let's pray for that forgiveness this morning. God, we just come before you. We are desperate people who desperately need you in our lives. We know that the life that we live, it just brings us to a bad place. The evil and temptation that wells up inside of us, that we become enticed, Lord God, that it leads us to a bad place. And God, I just pray right now. I pray right now that you will bring healing. I pray that you will bring healing and forgiveness into the lives of those individuals that had the courage to raise their hand. God, I pray right now that you will allow this to be a new day. That you will allow this to be a brand new day and a new future for them, Lord Jesus. God, I thank you so much for your grace and your mercy, for your love in our lives, for showing us a true way to live, a better way to live. We pray these things in your powerful and your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Man, isn't God good, church? Isn't he good? And here's what I want you to know. As we're wrapping up, here's what I want you to know is that we want this to be more than just a message here at our church. We want it to be more than just a, hey, man, that felt good. That was powerful. That moved me in a big way. Man, if God moved you in a big way, we want to set you up for spiritual success. And so what we're doing right now is we're in the middle of putting together some development and discipleship things that can help us really go forward in the way that we've been talking just recently. Man, we went through a series. I mean, it's almost the entire year of what we've been talking about, that God wants to show us the right way to live. And so we're in the middle right now, I want you to know, and we're hoping by the end of the fall that we're going to have all of these things put together so that we can have some true discipleship things so that we can really, truly live a better life. Not a normal life, but the way that God wants us to live. And so I'm excited about that, and we're going to be making more announcements about that as we go through the summer. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be so cool. I mean, God's just ready to put our church to a whole other level, and I'm excited about that. But hey, enough of that. We've got a couple of announcements, some cool things that are happening, and I'm going to be transitioning. As I'm transitioning out, I'm going to be going outside for a little bit, and as I'm doing that, we got some cool things that are happening in our church, and Travis and Wendy are going to talk to us about that. Why don't you give it up for Travis and Wendy?